This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have a touching musical feature, an encouraging message from John Bradshaw, an interesting talk on the 95 Theses, and our favorite falafels.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope.
And welcome to the day before Thanksgiving.
Hey.
We especially love this time of year, don't we? Gathering with our loved ones around a nice meal and creating new memories.
You know, what does your Thanksgiving look like in your home? Are you traveling out or are people traveling to you? In fact, we're looking forward to being with my family tomorrow.
Yes.
And in fact, my uncle and aunt from Argentina are going to join us.
It's going to be really special.
It's going to be special. What special traditions do you have in your family?
Well, one thing that we have done almost every Thanksgiving is run.
Yes.
A Thanksgiving
turkey
5K.
Trot.
A turkey trot.
Yes. Yes. We're going to get up too early tomorrow morning.
Yes, we are.
We're all going to run it.
Before we eat anything.
That's right.
We're
going to
run a 5K.
That's right. My son Elijah has been training, and so we're ready for this.
Yep.
Tell us some of your traditions. Leave us a message on our Wake Up With Hope Facebook page. We'd love to hear some of your family's Thanksgiving traditions. And let's get started today by taking a look back on this day in history.
On this day in history, in the year 1936, the first issue of the pictorial magazine Life was published, featuring a cover photo of the Fort Peck Dam spillway by Margaret Bourke White. Life actually had its start earlier in the 20th century as a different kind of magazine, a weekly humor publication, not unlike today's The New Yorker in its use of tart cartoons, humorous pieces, and cultural reporting. When the original Life folded during the Great Depression, the influential American publisher Henry Luce bought the name and relaunched the magazine as a picture-based periodical on this day in 1936. By this time, Luce had already enjoyed great success as the publisher of Time, a weekly news magazine. Life magazine focused on using pictures to tell the story. A popular phrase says that a picture is worth a thousand words. It is often true that pictures can tell a story better than words can. In a picture, emotions are conveyed, feelings are expressed, and the story is told in a way that sometimes is better than just words.
However, oftentimes, listening to words can help us to form a picture in our minds about something or someone. So it is when we hear the words of Jesus and read the incredible stories of his ministry. As you read about him healing the paralytic or touching the unclean leper, what picture comes to mind? As you think about him dying on the cross just for you, what do you imagine? Truly, we picture a loving Savior filled with love and compassion and mercy. And indeed, he is. He is a God of love, a God of hope. And we encourage you today, friends, to spend time thinking and picturing your heavenly friend. And may the love you have for him grow in a very monumental way.
Amen. In the spirit of giving, we are sharing our favorite falafel recipe with you today. It comes from Loma Linda's Live It in the Kitchen. We hope you enjoy it.
Sesame seeds are small but mighty, and here we are adding them to a traditional Mediterranean dish, falafel. Traditionally, falafels are made with garbanzo beans, which we used here, but you can also use fava beans or even a combination of the two. Commercially, falafel are made with a meat grinder, but we are using a food processor. It's important not to overprocess. You want the mixture to stick together, but the texture should still be coarse. Falafel are a great vegetarian protein. You can eat them in a salad, or in a sandwich, or even alone. The tahini sauce, made by pureeing sesame seeds, is a perfect pairing. Find it in our Chef Tips section on the website. This is Chef Corey. Eat well.
Did you know that Christianity today wouldn't be what it is without the courage of one man? That's right. Martin Luther became the founder of the Protestant Reformation as he stirred the religious world with his 95 Theses document. Let's take a closer look at this movement that changed the face of the Christian world.
In the Luther House of Wittenberg hangs a painting by Julius Hubner. It depicts the day Martin Luther marched to the doors of the Castle Cathedral. He nailed 95 objections to the selling of indulgences and the assumed role of the Pope. In the centre, Luther has a Bible under his arm. To his left is a group of excited students. But on his right is a church scholar doing all he can to hose down joy among the onlookers. Up the front is a rotund monk. He has his hand being kissed in worship. Then we have a mother, her child, and a cripple in the centre. This is to point out church responsibilities to help the poor. Meanwhile, we have a monk running from the scene, and he's got a money box under his arm. So how did Luther gain such a strong conviction on these issues? Well, Luther began as an earnest monk. He once said, "If ever a monk could win heaven by monkery, I must have reached it." But as he compared the Bible with the teachings of the church, he was horrified. One of the issues that most upset him was the selling of indulgences. The way it worked was this. The poor Christian paid money to the church, and in return, the punishment for his sin was downgraded or taken away. A German rhyme went this way. "Place your penny on the drum, the pearly gates open, and in strolls mum." For me, this painting, it's not just about Martin Luther or nailing objections to a door. This painting is the turning point in Christianity. It's a turning towards the Bible and the Bible only. As he faced hostile church leadership, Luther said, "I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it's neither safe nor right to go against my conscience. May God help me. Amen."
Are you enjoying our show today, friends? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know what your favorite part is. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And you can always search for us on YouTube as well. And check out our channel to keep up with what we're doing here at Hope Channel.
How much time do you spend sitting versus standing? And does it matter? When we return, our friends from Loma Linda University Health will explain why sitting is being called the new smoking.
That's going to be interesting. And later, John Bradshaw will share today's devotional thought. We'll be right back.
So let me ask you a question. Do you know how many hours the average American spends sitting down?
I don't know.
Can you guess?
That's a very good question.
13 hours.
Wow. That's a lot of time sitting.
13 hours a day. You know, and some researchers are calling the sitting the new smoking. But why does this matter? Why the extreme comparison? Well, our friends from Loma Linda University Health brings us the details.
Average American spends 13 hours a day doing this. Some researchers call it the new smoking. In fact, you're probably doing it right now. I know we are. It's sitting.
Many of us spend our waking hours sitting for 8 hours a day or more with our leisure activities, including even more sitting. It may seem harmless, but sitting for extended periods of time could lead to serious health problems.
chronic inflammation increases over time if you sit too much. Chronic inflammation is actually a root problem for most of our common big killers, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and stroke.
If you're experiencing a sedentary lifestyle or sitting disease, not only does chronic inflammation increase, but also bad cholesterol or LDL goes up, and good cholesterol or HDL goes down.
Even if you exercise regularly, but sit most of the day, you're still not completely protected from those risks.
The term that I use now is called active couch potato, because they could be active for that hour of exercising, and then what are they doing the other 23 hours?
So how can you incorporate more movement into your daily routine? If you spend most of your day sitting, get up and move for 1 or 2 minutes every hour.
You can also get an activity tracker that will alert you when you've been sitting for too long. Getting up and moving periodically throughout the day is key to protecting you from developing chronic diseases. A plus to standing is increased concentration.
You'll have more energy due to better blood flow and better posture and core strength. When you stand, researchers recommend active standing, where you move around and shift your feet around.
When you're standing and you're contracting your muscles more, like doing some squats or leg splits or lunges or something like that, that helps to force the blood back up so it doesn't, you know, settle and pool and stay there for long periods of time.
Standing desks are also becoming quite popular in workspaces. Doctors recommend easing into a stand-up desk. And don't forget to use proper ergonomics. Make sure the height is correct for your body. Wear comfortable shoes while you're at the stand-up desk. And stand on a cushioned mat. There's your tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Gisela Kroll joins Carlos Santiago as they sing this beautiful hymn in both English and Spanish. Let's enjoy it now as we realize how thankful we can be for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Since nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I will wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Cuando ante el trono allá, completo en él esté, a los pies de mi Jesús, mis trofeos echaré. Thank you.
it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Friends, be sure to visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content.
We now have to take a short break, but stay with us. After the break, we'll have today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. John Bradshaw from It Is Written is here to share today a devotional thought. Pastor John?
Hey there, it's great to see you. I'm John Bradshaw from It Is Written. I'm blessed to have this opportunity to spend a few moments with you, share a thought with you that I really think will bless you. Might challenge you a little bit. It certainly challenges me. So as we look forward to a great day, take this thought with you. It will encourage you. So the Apostle Paul goes to Philippi. He's doing God's work. He's a missionary in Philippi. Where's Philippi? It's in what today we'd call modern day Greece. Paul is there. It's a heathen city. It's not a Christian city. It's not like they rolled the red carpet out for him. It's not like they said, Paul, what a hero. Come and tell us about this wonderful creator God, about this Jesus who died on a cross. They didn't understand any of that stuff. It was all new to them. They had a pantheon of gods, did the Greeks. And so here was Paul working in this place. Now, the Bible tells us this in Acts chapter 16. Paul is not getting a great welcome. We read, and I'm going to read this to you. It says in Acts 16:16, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. She was a slave. She was kept. She was demon possessed. And so she had these devil given abilities to tell fortunes. Goes on to say, the girl followed Paul and us, Dr. Luke is writing, and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now, what she was saying was true, but she was being a nuisance. How do you deal with situations like that? No, I'm not saying philosophically, how does one deal? I'm saying, how do you deal with situations like that? When someone is intentionally messing with you, intentionally trying to destroy the work that you are doing, grating on you. You know, this is fingers on a chalkboard stuff. She's getting under your skin. What do you do to a person like that? Now, you know somebody, it come to your mind just like that. Oh man, my brother, my mother, my wife, my husband, my kid, my neighbor. Oh, that person would just let her have it. They'd yell at them. They'd let them have a piece of their mind. They'd put that person in their place. We all know people like that. But is somebody else saying that you are that person? Oh, I don't think you would be. Surely you would never be that kind of person. But we know people who would be that kind of person. What did Paul do? Paul and Silas, how did they react? They had the opportunity to react here. And it's really interesting what they did. In fact, it's more than interesting. It's instructive. It says, she did this for many days. Oh, can you imagine? What's many? Is many two? No, that's 2 days. Would many be three? Maybe, but I don't think. Seems to me many's got to be 4 or 5 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days, maybe more. So this had been going on for days. And Paul had enough. It says this. This she did for many days. But Paul, here it comes. Here it comes. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to that young demon-possessed woman, You know what's interesting about it? The Bible doesn't say that. It says she did it for many days. It does say Paul was greatly annoyed. It does say that Paul turned and said to the. But this is really interesting. This can teach us something. Paul turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he, the demon, came out of her, the young girl, at that very time. Now that's a different take, isn't it? The woman was at fault. Oh man, she was at fault, all right. What she was doing was an absolute pain in the neck. But Paul didn't turn to her and say, you no good, you loud mouth, you girl, you. He didn't do that at all. Because he understood that the young woman was a victim. And he turned and said to the Spirit, he addressed the devil, you get out of her and leave her alone. And it's interesting, the devil departed and the girl was returned to her right mind and she was no longer a fortune teller after that. Those powers had gone because the devil introduced them into her life and he was cast out through the power of the risen Christ, which tells us a lot. It tells us greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. It tells us that in the spiritual battle between good and evil that we see in the world right now, Christ is more powerful. Christ wins. But let's bring this back. You're driving on the freeway and somebody, I don't know, maybe they get a little close to you or they jump on the brakes or they get ticked off with you or you pull in front of somebody, they flash their lights and honk their horn and drive past, they pull up next to you and shake their fist. You think, wow, that reaction was a bit much. I was just minding my own business. Sorry, bro, I didn't mean to do any of that. Well, what's rubbing their fur wrong? You know, I don't know and you don't either. Maybe they're demon possessed. Maybe not. But maybe they've had a very bad day. Maybe they've had very bad news. Maybe they had a very bad upbringing. Oh, I'm not giving a person a free pass. Wrong is wrong, and people ought to take responsibility for that. But wouldn't it be a better approach if we didn't get angry with people before recognizing, hey, there's probably some things that are winding them up. Maybe there are some circumstances that I don't know about. We wouldn't hold grudges that way. That neighbor of mine does this and does that. Well, wait a second. If you just look at it through a more charitable lens and understand that your neighbor is under some stress and maybe she or he is doing their very best, perhaps you no longer hold a grudge against your neighbor. Perhaps at night when you put your head on your pillow, instead of imagining sticking pins into your neighbor doll, you're thinking to yourself, or you're praying, Lord, help my neighbor because he is battling with A, B, C, and D. This person is really upset about the noise my kids make in the backyard, but it's not very loud and it's in the middle of the day and it shouldn't be bothering them and it is their own place. You understand what I mean. Paul got it right. There was no need to be angry with the young woman. She wasn't even her own person. She'd been taken over by another force. And while I don't want to ascribe demon possession to every last little problem that's going on in the world, because that wouldn't be so, you do understand that sometimes people are just under the control of another force. It might be their anger, it might be their hunger, it might be the stress, it might be something from way back in their upbringing. Often, people are angry with their parents because maybe they're a little overbearing. I'm only talking a little overbearing, I'm not talking about abuse. Maybe they're a little crotchety or cranky or irascible. And maybe what you needed to understand really was that your parents were the product of another generation. Maybe they had it real hard when they were kids. Maybe they had to work, and you never picked up that ethic and they were challenged by that. And it wasn't your parents, man. It's the fact that they were from another generation and they were wrestling with this changing world. It's all different now. The entertainment and the music and the clothes the kids wear, it's all different. And the parents, or maybe I'm talking about the grandparents now, struggled with that. You got angry with them failing to see that, you know, behind that veneer of crotchetiness, there was a struggling going on to get their arms around the changing world in which they find themselves. However you apply it to yourself, I hope you will apply it if you need to in your experience today. A demon-possessed woman was making life a misery for the Apostle Paul. He wasn't mad with her. He knew that the devil was to blame. Don't get mad with people today. Be a little understanding. Watch God change your heart. Do have a great day. May God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor John.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, please visit hopetv.org/wakeup.
And tomorrow morning, don't forget to be right here with us. Our good friends from Go Healthy for Good will be joining us to share some important news. And Roy Ice from Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, you can learn more about the Bible by visiting hope.study and requesting your free Bible study guides.
You know, we hope you've been encouraged and inspired this morning. And as you take on the day, remember that Jesus is by your side.
Amen. Well, friends, we're done for today, but we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise.
It's found in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 and 24.
It says, "Then, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, 'That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear, for life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds.'"
Amen. You are far more valuable to him than any birds. What an amazing thought and a promise to keep in mind, especially during the season of Thanksgiving. We don't have to worry. He has promised that as we seek him first, he will provide.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, and thank you for being so good to us. You're the God who cares deeply for our hearts. You know our life. You know about us more than we know ourselves, and you are the God who loves us. And I pray, Lord, that as we go about this day, that you would give us the spirit of thanksgiving in our hearts as we celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow, Lord. And I pray that you would just remind us of your goodness. Keep us safe for those who are traveling, even today, to spend time with family and friends. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.